You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Shep. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles, over 4,500 on the Sonic, over 12,500 on the Tahoe. You won't believe what you can say. Stop in, check it out right now at Lakewood Shep. Patrick Kearns from the Fourth Period, also Professional Hockey Writers Association member, joins us talking New York Rangers. Patrick, have you got any insight into the Klein situation with the Rangers, where he had $2.7 million left in his contract? He retires, so he just walks away from it. The Rangers get it off the cap, and now he signs in Switzerland. It seems kind of strange to just walk away from $2.75 million. I know some people have said he just beats to his own drum. Maybe, I don't know if he felt guilty of wanting to cash the check and not put in the time, but what are you hearing why that decision was made for a guy to just walk away and then resurface very quickly in Europe?
I think for Klein, he knew pretty quickly last season that he couldn't play at an NHL level anymore. I mean, he's not even going to one of the top tier. It's not like he's going to play in a KHL or you know, a really super competitive league. I think for him, he's got a couple of years left on his deal. He didn't want to not play. He didn't want to go to the AHL. I think, you know, he probably got a pretty decent offer to go play over there. And it just comes down to not being an NHL player and kind of recognizing that. He's always been a really interesting, insightful guy. I think he wasn't about to kind of just, you know, sit and collect a paycheck, so to say.
What about Peary? What's going on with him? There's reports he's going there as well. It's all the same team. There are others that are suggesting maybe it's a bit premature.
It's not, you know, it's hard to tell with a lot of these European deals until they're finalized. There's a lot of speculation, obviously. Peary is an interesting case, I think, because he could fit on a team if a team was willing to use him the right way. A guy like Brendan Peary is a straight scorer and nothing else. And maybe, you know, NHL teams don't always have a use for those guys, because when they're not scoring, which every player does, I mean, Alex Ovechkin goes through streaks where he doesn't score, but when those guys like Brendan Peary aren't scoring, they're not contributing much else. He pretty quickly found himself in Alain Vigneault's doghouse last year and was scratched through the back half of the season. I'm just not sure there's a ton of NHL interest. I would guess that Europe is probably the best place for him, and he will ultimately go there, and we'll probably see that confirmed pretty shortly.
Looking at the Rangers, of course, you know what? They get Shattenkirk on a 4-year contract. I like the years. I don't mind the numbers. A lot of people feel that that's going to make McDonough a lot better because he's not going to be playing a ton with Dan Girardi. What do you make of that assessment?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to look at it. Ryan McDonough has, you know, a chance to have a legitimate, I think, top pairing guy on his right side for the first time in his career. A lot's made of Shattenkirk's defensive game, but I think that Shattenkirk's a better defensive player than people give him credit for. Obviously, we know the offense is there, and we know he's a great power play guy. But part of Girardi's issue was that, you know, he just wasn't an overall complete defenseman anymore. He wasn't great at progressing the play. It didn't allow Ryan McDonough to use his strengths, which is that he's a really great skater and he sees the ice really well. When you're forcing, you know, your best all-around defenseman to spend his entire game in his own zone, you're really taking away from his strengths. So I think having a guy that can move the puck really well, we're going to see McDonough flourish.
When I look at the Rangers of the whole this offseason, I get the sense they're trying to kind of recalibrate their team. You know, Stepan out. You mentioned Girardi out. They bring in David Darnay. You know, they're a year away from Rick Nash's $8 million coming off the boards as a UFA after this next season. Are they really trying to kind of retool as they go along here and think they're still in the mix as far as competing in the East?
Yeah, I think that was kind of Jeff Gorton's phrasing even at the draft after they had made the Stepan move. It's kind of a retool on the go here a little bit. It's not a full rebuild, obviously. You kind of can't do that with Henrik Lundqvist in net because you know you're going to be competitive every year. They're never going to be a bottom team. And again, guys like Rick Nash, you've got some older guys, but it's kind of been a 2-year retool because if you look at last offseason, they didn't re-sign Yandle. They let him walk. You know, they traded out Derek Brassard to bring in Mika Zibanejad, and they just kind of are trying to get younger while remaining competitive, and I think they've accomplished that this offseason. The smartest thing, and maybe it was a little bit of luck because he was so willing to come here, was not getting Shattenkirk on a longer than 4-year deal. This is their window now. They've got a couple of years. Let's see what they can do.
What about you know, Rick Nash, where is he at in his career? Are they just kind of waiting it out for him? Do you think he's got, you know, another 30-goal season in him?
Yeah, I think so. Rick Nash has been, you know, a little bit bugged by injuries over the last couple of years. He's especially had some concussion issues, which we know those can linger. I think that when he's on his game, he can still be that 30-goal, you know, great two-way, strong power forward type. He does a lot for the Rangers now. He's super versatile. He's probably their best penalty killer. At his cap hit, maybe you'd like a little bit more, but you know it's off the books at the end of the year. He's going to be that, you know, veteran lead by example on the ice presence that they're going to look to, especially younger guys like Chris Kreider, who, you know, are molded in a similar type and maybe are trying to get to that level, can kind of follow Rick Nash's lead by example.
They still got to get Zibanejad done, but let's assume that his contract gets done, which I'm sure will. How comfortable are they at center now with the moves they've made, stepping out and David Desharnais in?
Yeah, and I think that you've probably got your top three centermen in Desharnais. Kevin Hayes obviously comes back, and you've got Zibanejad will re-sign. It's just a matter of when. I think that they'll probably let one of maybe their young kids, Boone Nieves, is a guy that, you know, the organization has liked a lot, hasn't been able to stick. Maybe he wins that fourth line center job. But you could also see JT Miller moved back to center. He's been playing left wing for them over the last year, but he originally was drafted and called up as a centerman, and that's, you know, where he first kind of stuck with the team. So there's a chance you can then bump Desharnais down to the fourth line and have JT Miller center your second or third line. And, you know, his 20-plus goals aren't bad to have in your bottom six.
How much do you expect Pavlik to play? Are they going to limit Lundqvist starts in the regular season?
Yeah, I think you have to at this point. You know, you're talking about a guy north of, you know, on the bad half of 30 now at this point. So you've got to get a goaltender that's in there every day. I know Benoit Allaire's got this reputation as a goalie whisperer, a guy that can, you know, turn anybody into a solid number two. Well, he's got his work cut out for him because, you know, Pavlik's got a reputation. He's struggled mightily over the last few years. Let's see if they can turn him into a legit option behind Henrik Lundqvist that can, you know, play 25, 30 starts this year.
And you touched on the back end, and, you know, they kind of retooled. Girardi out. They brought in Brandon Smith, and now you got Shattenkirk in there. Is this a high comfort level with the group they've put together now and maybe more mobility?
Yeah, certainly. I think that that's where, especially with Alain Vigneault's system, it's so quick through the neutral zone, and I just don't think they had the defensive personnel to play it as effectively as they would have liked. I know a lot of people, especially in the playoffs, kind of pointed to their offense drying up, but especially in this system, that offense comes from the back end. It comes from getting the puck out and up quickly. It comes from getting those odd man opportunities through the neutral zone, and having a guy like Shattenkirk that can move the puck so well, that can skate so well, and that can make a great first pass. And Brendan Smith is not, you know, he's no schlub at it either. He can skate just as well as McDonough. Maybe he doesn't have the offense of a guy like Shattenkirk or even Ryan McDonough, but he's a great skater. I expect Brady Shea will also, you know, kind of step up a little bit more this year. He had a really good second half after a pretty solid rookie season. So I think they're probably going to lean on him pretty heavily to be a top four defenseman. This is a group that can skate, and they might be one of the best skating defensive groups in the league.
Patrick, we appreciate your time. Have a good offseason. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks. Thanks, guys.